So we left off the previous year. We're just introducing the principle of Ein Bir Chametz Al Sreifa. Now, even though we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Shita, we're going to preface by saying that we're not even sure we paskin like the Shita. It is a machlekes at Tanaim. It is a machlekes at Rishonim. It's a machlekes at Mechaber and Ramah. So it may very well be halach lemaisa, but not necessarily. But what is critical for us is not just to understand his view of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, Ein Bir Chametz Al Sreifa, but to understand it in light of the general machlokes. That means, what is the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva and our sugya subscribe to Ein Bir Chametz Al Sreifa, and everybody else who are the Chachamim disagree? So we start off on Wednesday with the basic hakira that the Acharonim raise, is how to understand what the nature of the machlokes is all about. Why is this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is revolving around the mitzvah tashbisu. The starting point is this mitzvah tashbisu. So mitzvah tashbisu, especially in the world of Tosfos, requires a physical destruction. That's what the starting point of tashbisu is. Is there a specific physical destruction? Torah doesn't say. So it comes Rabbi Yehuda and derives from a whole complicated drasha. We'll see that in a moment. The drasha from Noser, just as Noser has to be destroyed and it has to be burnt, so to Chometz has to be destroyed, has to be burnt. And the Rabbanan said, no, the derivation from Noser is not correct. And the Gemara will explain why you should or should not derive from Noser. But the derivation from Noser is basically just a prop in Tashbisu. According to Yehuda, at the end of the day, the goal is Tashbisu. The goal is not Nosar. The goal is Tashbisu. We're deriving from Nosar whether a detail of Tashbisu or the parameters of Tashbisu require Dafka Sreifa or not. But the other way of understanding the Machlokes is, though, that the mitzvah of Tashbisu means whatever it means. It could mean Bittul, it could mean Bittul Belev, it could mean Bittul Bepeh, could mean physical disruption. Whatever you think Tashbisu means, it means. The Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham is not even about Tashbisu. The Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham is about how to dispose of Isuri Hana'ah. And we know there are two tracks in Halacha. There's a track of Kavura, which basically just, I mean, literally dig the hole, throw it, basically dispose it, just make sure it's gone, throw it into the river, throw it into the ocean, whatever the case may be. Or is there are some Isuri Hana'ah that are required to actually be burnt, that are told Sreifa. So how do you know which is which? The Pasuk. So the problem is by Chometz, there is no Pasuk. No, Rabbi Yehuda says there is a Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? Neiser. Hi, Neiser. Chometz, what's there? Well, Rabbi Yehuda will show you. Kama Chomer, I remember Tzinu, I have a whole Chagadja. And I'm Chavzayin, I'm Sochav, to explain to you that the Pasuk by Neiser can be carried over, can be extrapolated to Chometz, and the Rabbanan disagree with that extrapolation. But according to the second understanding, the Machlokes is not within Tashbisu. Tashbisu is X, Y, Z, whatever you think Tashbisu meant. The Machlokes is in Hilchas Yisuri Hana, but Tashbisu can be performed, not necessarily requires Sreifa. That's a major, major question. Why would one say the second way? The second way is a little bit of a chiddush. Why would one, almost like try to run as far away from Tashbisu as possible? So the Michas Chinuch, and already a little before Michas Chinuch, the Chavis Das explained to us that, at least according to some Rishonim, the first side of the Chakir is very, very difficult. Primarily, according to Shi'as Rashi, Shi'as Rambam, that Tashbisu doesn't really mean physical anything. Tashbisu means bittul. If Tashbisu means bittul, so where is Rabbi Yehuda coming off to say that, no, ain't be a chametz al sreifa? Remember, it's bittul. If Rashi and the Rambam and the Targum are right, that the word Tashbisu, when your mama sent you last week, if you do it with uncles, it says Tashbisu means tavat lun. If that's what the word Tashbisu means, that's the translation, that's the taich of the word. So you can have drushes from Nisif until tomorrow. How's it going to change what the word means? If at the end of the day, Tashbisu means Tavatlu, means Tavatlu. So that's what led the Chas Chinuch to believe that Tashbisu is Mekomo Emet, whatever Tashbisu means. What it means, Tashbisu means. Now you have your further Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How do you dispose of this particular Isuri Hana'ah? Does it follow the track of the Nisrafin or the track of the Nigbar? So it's that sheet, this Rashi in the Rambam, that prompted the Chas Chinuch to his Chiddush. If one doesn't follow Shittas Rashi, if one believes that Tashbis does not mean Tevatlon, that Bitul Chometz is not even rooted in Tashbis, so like Taisa says, Bitul Chometz is a dinimominous trick to be mafke your Chometz, to make it Chometz Shalachayrim, to circumvent by Uriah, but that is not, it has nothing to do with Tashbisu, then you're free to learn the other side in the Machlokes. That maybe everybody agrees Tashbisu means physical destruction, and now Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying that and saying not every method of physical destruction is sufficient, as derived from Nosa. So according to Tosfos, we're not locked into the box. Maybe even according to Rashi, we're not locked into the box. Maybe according to Rashi, there are other answers to the question. There are other answers to the question. Why Rabbi Yehuda and Chabim arguing what happened to Tashbisu being bittel? So we're not mechuyav to go down the route of the Mechas Chinuch, but again, Mechas Chinuch's route is a possibility. However, Mechara, the issue with Mechas Chinuch is that it doesn't seem to fit into the simple reading of the Gemara, not just one Gemara, but actually two Gemaras, one of them being ours, and one of them being a Gemara in the second paragraph. So if we go back for a moment to the first sugya, let's go back to the words of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was synonymous with Rabbi Yehuda. So the second line, first in Rabbi Kamas, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need a pasuk to tell me a drasha, a whole story to tell me that Yom HaRisha means Erev Pesach. Of course it means Erev Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says, well, the Torah says to the Tashbisu, we know that you're not allowed to do malacha yantif, and we know that lighting fires is a malacha. So those three things are true, then they all can't be true. So therefore, it must be that Yom HaRishon doesn't mean yantif, because if it would have been yantif, then the Torah would have told us to be doing a malacha yantif, which is not on the radar screen of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara commits Rabbi Akiva, of course, in the view of Ein B'Yachametz illustration. Did I have B'Yachametz illustration for that? I could do whatever I have to do. I could do Tashbisu without violating the Malacha. So it must be, I'm a Rabbi Shmami now, because of Rabbi Akiva, Ein B'Yachametz illustration. So Rabbi Akiva, who is telling you Ein B'Yachametz illustration, is discussing the mitzvah Tashbisu. He is invoking that principle of Ein B'Yachametz illustration to define exactly when Tashbisu is. According to Mechas Chinuch, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva's Ein B'Yachametz illustration is not even talking about Tashbisu. It's talking about something else. It's talking about a sugya tumur. Was it Tashbisu? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, okay, there's a way to read the Gemara because of Mechas Chinuch. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that when you see the words Ein B'Yachametz illustration, that's defining Tashbisu. That's not a separate key of beer Isuri Hanoah. That's part and parcel of Tashbisu itself. So the simple reading of Gemara sounds that the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is very much related to Tashbisu proper. There's another Gemara also that seems to bear this out. That's on the second of the Maamar Kamos, where the Gemara quotes the Braisa for how Rabbi Yehuda knows what he knows. The Mishnah in the second paragraph of Sachem just records Ein B'Yachametz illustration. It doesn't type with the sources. So the Braisa elaborates. Tanya, second of the Maamar Kamos, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ein B'Yachametz illustration. But didn't know he say. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the source for Ein B'Yachametz illustration is a Kal V'Chomer. No, sir, there's no violation by Rabbi Motzei. If I have meat left over from a korban, so I'm supposed to burn it. I shouldn't have had it left over in the first place. I violated the Sosir Menorah Boiker. I have a mitzvah for a nice Menorah Boiker. But if I have it in my house for another couple of minutes, it's not the end of the world. There's no by Rabbi Motzei and no, sir. So no, sir, on the hierarchy of things, is less severe, less serious than Chometz. And still, Maisa, which is so cow, and is known by Rabbi Matzah, requires Reifa. Chometz Yeshnava by Rabbi Matzah, look, Kol Shigesh, not Reifa. How much more so that you have to do Reifa on it? That was the Kav HaChayber, at least at the beginning, the Gemara thought that was the Kav HaChayber of Rabbi Yehuda. Amrullo, the Chacham responded back to Rabbi Yehuda that is an incorrect application of the Mid of Kav HaChayber. Why? Kol Din Shat Adon Chilos Alahachre Vesaf Alahokel Eno Din. A prat in Hukas Kav HaChomer. We're all going to say, hopefully, this one. Me the Shetan Rashi, but Kav HaChomer. So Kav HaChomer was one of the give me that's given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't just hand him the rice of Rabbi Shmuel, but he explained to him, how do you do Kav HaChomer? There are rules that govern Kav HaChomer. It's not everything is a Kav HaChomer. We've learned in the past, there's a principle of dial. Kav HaChomer have certain breaks to them, certain limitations to them. So one of the rules that govern Kav HaChomer, the Chacham tell us, is Kav HaChomer should chilasso The goal of a Kavachimer, the thrust of a Kavachimer is that Din B is more Chavid than Din A. That's the whole point of a Kavachimer. I put up a hierarchy and I say that B is greater than A. B is more serious than A. Like in this case, B is Chavitz, A is Noser. Chavitz is much, much more Chavir than Noser. Because Noser, meh, what's a little nicer around? There's no by Rav Matzi anyway. Chavitz, Kabbal, be sure you get by Rav Matzi. So Chavitz is definitely on a higher plane, definitely more serious, definitely more Chavir than Noser. So the goal is, I want to create more Chumers for Chavitz. That's what Kavach Chavir means. Once I've established that Chavitz is more Chavir than Noser, then whatever Chumer is applied to Noser will, by definition, apply to Chavitz as well. Therefore, Sreifa applies, but Noser, Kavach Chavir will apply to Chavitz. That's the goal of a Kavach Chavir. The direction, the trajectory of a Kavach Chavir has to be the Chumer. That's the whole point. That I have to get as many Chumers as I can to be. If invoking a Kavach Chavir will end up having the opposite effect, the desired result was Chumers. As we know, every chumra leads to a kula. If your chumra itself is going to create an unwanted, undesired kula for you, that's anti-chumra. That shows that the whole chumra is not acceptable. Any chumra that mistakenly will end up causing a kula, not chumra. The direction that you're going in, the goal was to get the chumras. If you end up with a kula, that shows that the whole chumra was null and void. Say the chumra back to Yehuda, the kavachomer that you just made, you just added a tremendous chumran klaiso. You made ein b'chametz el shreifa. Before your limud from Nisar, everybody was throwing chametz into the ocean. Now you're telling me a chiddush kavachomer? No, the din has been a Torah. You have to do a lachum. You have to burn it. So Gemara continues. Third line: lamotza eitzim l'sarfa yeyeshiv abotel. What if a guy doesn't have wood? What if a guy can't make a fire? What's he supposed to do? He doesn't have any wood. According to us, we're going to tell him, you better get that chametz and throw it in the river. You better run to the Hackensack River and dump that chametz right away. According to you, Rabbi, you're going to sit and twiddle your thumbs. You can't do anything. According to you, Rabbi, your hands are tied. You can't do anything because your chametz dictated that you have to destroy it. Nothing else suffices. So who's from it than who now? Who's more machmir than who now? Where the machmirim go to make you? You, Rabbi Yehuda, let a guy sit around with chametz all day because lomotza eitzim l'sarfo. Whereas we are telling him, you better get in your car and drive to the ocean and throw it to hashpasas b'chol davar. So where the machmirim? You're the mekel. So the chametz weren't making fun of Rabbi Yehuda. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to illustrate, to highlight that your chumra of requiring eitzim can sometimes lead to a kula. And since it has the potential to lead to a kula, for that one fellow's lamotza eitzel mitzarfo, it's going to lead to a kula. That's megala. That's that undermines the entire kavachimer. And a kavachimer that ends up with kulas when the goal, the trajectory, is supposed to be chumras, ain't no din. That's not a kavachimer. That kufa doesn't meet the parameters of kavachimer. And what will be so terrible if the fellow will be yeshiv a batel? So the Gemara continues. And the Torah says, after all, you're supposed to be mashpis the chametz. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not doing that. According to us, you're doing that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're being makel and you're losing out tashpisu. That was the response of the chacham to Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Yehuda responded back to the Chacham and said, no, you misunderstood my drasha, it's not really true. I have a different nuance, and I'm not going to run into Kavachim, it's really a Mematzino, and a whole story continues. But we want to focus for a minute on the Chachamim's final response to Rabbi Yehuda, that Vateira Amra Teshbisom Vatechem. The Chor, it sounds from those words that the Chacham invoked, that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Teshbisom. It means Rabbi Yehuda had a version of Teshbisom, and the Chacham are trying to show him that his version of Tashbisu is not correct. If the Mechaz Chinuch is right, the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham weren't even talking about Tashbisu. They were talking about something else. Tashbisu was long gone. Tashbisu was decided, the Choladeus, Bitbol, whatever you think Tashbisu means, it means. And we're fighting about some brand new din, a din chadash derived from Nisar. Why did the Chacham quote the wrong pasuk? Why did the Chacham quote Tashbisu to highlight the argument? Absolute proof positive. It's not like this, a smoking gun that says, Amar Rava, Ein B'chametz El Shreifa, Zoe Kiyam Et Hashbisu. But the implication of Hashmalus of both sugyas from the fact that the Gemara is talking the language of Tashbisu, in referencing the machlokes between the chachamim, it sounds a little bit against the Bechas Chinuch. So it's generally assumed against this Bechas Chinuch. It's generally assumed that the machlokes between the chachamim is not some detail of Maseches Tmura about the Sraphon and the Gvorin, but is very much a machlokes about the details of Tashbisu. And it's this assumption that was definitely taken by Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim took the assumption, what we call it, the simple shot on the sugya, that the machlokes was part of Tashbisu, and Reb Chaim took it to a whole new level. So let's see what the background to Reb Chaim's new understanding, his insight into this machlokes Ibn Nacham was all about. And we'll begin with the Rambam that we spoke about already several times this year, one of the most puzzling Rambams in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. It's the third of the Rambam Kamas. It's a Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Eino loki mishum lo yirov lo yimotzei, alim kein kono chomitz bepesach chimtzok d'shiasabem haisah. Says the Rambam, 9 out of 10 times by Rav Yimotzei will not carry with it a punishment of Malkus for a very simple reason. It's a lav she'im b'maisen. So a guy has a store, he's got loads of chomitz sitting on the shelves, and the Pesach comes, he doesn't know anything about it, he just lets all the chomitz sit there. So he violated outright by Rav Yimotzei, but he didn't do anything. By sitting back and not getting rid of the chametz, he violated by Rav Yimotzei. So it's a terrible avera, two terrible averas, but there's no malchus, because it's a lav she'im b'maisen, there's no action involved. However, what if a person does action? What if he buys chametz? What is more chametz than Pesach? Or what if he goes to the back, takes some flour, takes some water, makes himself a challah, makes himself a dough, a pizza dough? So he's b'chametz as isa on Pesach. So says the Rambam, yeah, then Yitzhak will be chayiv malchus. So the Rambam is not opposed to the possibility of by Rav Yimotzei carrying with it on the malchus. The Rambam says you have to go case by case practically and see, was there ma'isa, was there no ma'isa? But the Ikaron, by Rav Yimotzei, could theoretically, once in a blue moon, could have malchus to it. So there was a famous question that we spoke about in the past, that all the Acharon were bothered with, Shlom Melech, and Mechaz Chinuch, and Reb Chaim, everyone's bothered with the same kasha, is that, L'chora, there's a more inclusive reason why by Rav Yimotzei should actually never get malchus. Whether you did it with the mice or not, there's a whole other reason that should exempt by Rav Yimotzei, and that is, isn't it a lav hanitach le'asei? Isn't it a lav that the Torah says to fix up, like the marshal, don't steal, but if you steal, you have to return it. So you don't get malchus for stealing. It's a lav hanitach le'asei. So isn't there a remedy? Isn't there something that you do to rectify the violation by Rav Yimotzei? What is that something? Isn't it Tashbisa? Doesn't the Torah say, don't own chametz, but rather destroy the chametz? So doesn't that fall into the category of a lav and nitach liyaseh? And we paskin that a lav and nitach liyaseh is part of a malchus. If that's the case, so then when the Rambam gave us the reason that by Rav Yimotzei is exempt from malchus because a lav shem b'maaseh, it was true what the Rambam said, but it wasn't all-encompassing because the Rambam himself had to chisel away and say, well, every once in a blue moon, the fellow will get malchus if he does a ma'aseh. According to the reason that the Acharonim are asking, that it's not even a discussion of malchus. Forget malchus. There's never a scenario of malchus. By Rav Yimotzei, it's not nitan to malchus because it's a lav nitach liyaseh. So this is a problem that's been troubling the Gedolei Acharonim already for hundreds and hundreds of years. So what's the answer to Shittas Rambam? So remember a couple of weeks ago, we suggested an answer, according to some Acharonim, that maybe the reason why by Rav Yimotzei is not nitan to the aseh tashbisu is because they never really overlap. That according to the Rambam, it's quite possible the mitzvah tashbisu is tavka before chatzos. And by Rav Yimotzei only begins after chatzos. So there is no time in the clock where don't own chametz, but rather do tashbisu. So we gave that suggestion. That was a big machlekes Acharonim, whether those facts are even right. That was the machlekes of Nebi Huda and the Shol of Nebi Huda, if you may remember. We spoke about Berichos a week or two ago. So it's not so clear that those facts were correct. So there are other answers that are given. So Reb Chaim has one of the other famous answers to this Shittas Rambam. And Reb Chaim's understanding is ultimately going to depend upon our very question about what the nature of the machlokes between the chachamim is all about. So that the machlokes between the chachamim is very, very much tashbisu oriented. But Reb Chaim takes it to the next level. Reb Chaim says that when you focus on the mitzvah of tashbisu, like many other mitzvahs in the Torah, you can raise a question, what's the nature of the mitzvah Tashbisu? Who is Tashbisu really speaking to? Is Tashbisu a mitzvah sagavra? A mitzvah sagavra, let's say, for example, to put on tefillin. So everybody understands that I am obligated to put on tefillin. If somebody would say to me, no, you don't really have to put on tefillin. Tefillin have to be put on. It's just that you have to volunteer your arm and your head for that tefillin. It's for you to put on tefillin. I don't have to go run around town finding all the pairs of tefillin that every pair of tefillin should be put on that day. What does that mean? The mitzvah for me to put on tefillin. The mitzvah for me to shake a lulav. I have a chub to go run around and buy 100 esrogim so every esrog in the world could be shaken by somebody. What a mamshah joke is that? It's a mitzvah zagavra. It's a mitzvah zagavra that involves a chavtza to be able to be yet. It's a mitzvah zagavra. But the emphasis is clearly on the gavra. So there are some mitzvahs. There are many, many mitzvahs. Probably most mitzvahs essay are like that. But every once in a while you get another mitzvahs essay where the gavra is not really so important. The focus, the emphasis, is not really on the gavra. It's really a mitzvah on the chafza, that something is supposed to be done to this item. The Torah wants the following to happen to this item. Now, the item is not going to do it by itself. So you are called into action. I am required to do this action in order to enable that the requirement of this item, this object, gets taken care of. That's a mitzvah chafza. Those who were with us on the Wednesday night cheer, so we made a little bit of a reference, a very quick reference to this. We're talking about the possible mitzvah of eating perishvias. So I made a little bit of a reference to the mitzvah of eating kachim. There's a mitzvah of eating korban Pesach, and there's a mitzvah of eating other kachim as well, but also b'shakupa v'hem. So like you said, Rashi the Rambam, but that's only a mitzvah of the Kohanim, the mitzvah of Israel, whatever the details of that mitzvah are. But one of the time mitzvahs are chilas kachim. So the famous word for the Beis Halev, for Chaim's father, who highlighted this difference, that the two mitzvahs are not necessarily the same. The mitzvah achilas korban Pesach is a mitzvah achilas agavra. You have to eat korban Pesach. When it comes to achilas kachim, the Torah doesn't really care that you eat the kachim any more than it cares that somebody else eats kachim. Kachim have to be eaten. One of the mitzvahs of the korban is there's an avodas hadam with the korban, and then there's a hektach levavar with the korban. And then there's a third aspect of the korban is the achilas korban. We might use the lashon kohanim ochlim abal miskaperim. That almost like the gevara kapar in certain senses. The achilas korban is the end of the tahalich. It's the end of the process of the havasa korban. Whether it's not akivin, it's a different story. Not everything that's part of the tahalich of the korban is makiv. The burning of the chiv is also not makiv, but it's also part of the mitzvah korban. So it comes with Beis Halevi and says that the mitzvah of eating karbonos is not identical in nature to the mitzvah of eating karbonos. Karbonos is a mitzvah gabra. Mitzvah achilas karbonos is a mitzvah chefza. The carbon has to be eaten. But it's not going to be eaten by a robot. It's got to be eaten by you. So somebody's got to step up to the plate to enable this mitzvah to happen. That's where Beis Halevi has a chiluk. He says that when it comes to achilas karbon Pesach, so every person has to eat a kezias because it's not called an achilas ha'odam short of a kezias. When it comes to achilas kachim, there is no lechem achilas kezias. That's what the Gemara says, that when they used to divide up the lechem aponim every Shabbos, so they would divide, everybody got like the size of a bean of the lechem aponim. A lot of kohanim, the lechem wasn't so much. And we've got shirayim for the Rebbe, we've got a little tiny crumb of chala, crumb of the lechem aponim. So, like a difference with the chassidim and the misnagdim. So, the chassid standing there, the chassid shakayim standing there, the bisa mikdash. And can you imagine? Madach, they come Friday night to get a piece of kugel from the Rebbe. Here they come, the lechem aponim. The word shirayim actually comes from korban mincha. That's where the word shirayim for the Rebbe comes from. That you give the kaimitz to the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by everybody else. That's what the model of shirayim is. So here you have chassidish kaya, and he's standing in the base of mikdash, and he gets his little tiny piece from the tiny piece of lechem aponim gevald there in Mevayim. He doesn't need more than a crumb. He keeps him going for 6 months till his next mishpah. And the misnagid is standing there and saying, "What am I going to do with this? It's less than a kezayis." He starts pulling at it. It's not even a chazanish year or something. What am I going to do? Not yet see anything. But Lamaisa, that's what the Gemara said they used to do. They would only give the people he got a kippul, they got a little bead. So Beis Halevi explains the reason why that was good was because there's no mitzvah achilas kachim. Lechem aponim is a carbon, it's a carbon mincha. There's no mitzvah gavri to eat kachim. The mitzvah is achilas achevza. As long as the chevza is consumed, so that's good enough. So you find in halacha this model that some mitzvahs are mutalos on the gavra, other mitzvahs are mutalos on the chevza. What is tashbisu? So one can understand that tashbisu is a mitzvah, a gavra.
It's like achilas matzah. It's like a tefillah of the kishofer, like shibisuk. It's a mitzvah, a gavra. Every person has to go around doing this mitzvah of tashbisu. Or maybe you got it all wrong. Maybe that is not what's going on in the sugya. That is not what's happening. But tashbisu is as follows. Chometz, the focus begins and ends with chometz. Chometz is a davra tol ibn min ha'olam. The Baal Shem does not want chametz around on Pesach. Jewish own chametz. Kosher own chametz is okay. Mr. Brown can own whatever chametz he wants. But Jewish own chametz is a no-no on Pesach. So there's a mitzvah sachevtza that chametz has to be destroyed. Part of what's supposed to happen to the chametz, to me. The chametz has to be destroyed. The chametz is totally been in the oil. Who does the Torah put responsible to do that? What? The Torah is going to ask me to destroy your chametz? No. The Torah puts me in charge of my own chametz. It's like Mashal Maldavah, we're going to hopefully talk about this later in a further sugya. Like a bris mila, there are some who say that the chiv of the father to do the bris on his son is not really the father's mitzvah. The son requires a mila. So who is the Torah going to appoint, so to speak, as the agent? Who's the Torah going to put in charge of making sure the bris happens? Well, we're going to appoint a stranger. Let's move on mila. Of course the father's going to do it. The father's the one who's called upon to do the mitzvah son. Child's a chepta a little bit, maybe the chepta a little bit. You know, the mitzvah chepta. The Jewish child is toon mila. So when I am required to do the bris mila, it's not my mitzvah to do mila. I have to enable the baby to have its mitzvah done. So too, I have to make sure that the chametz is treated appropriately. Either the chametz is destroyed. So what is tashbisu? Is tashbisu mitzvah gavra or is tashbisu mitzvah chepta? So that's going to make all the difference in the world. Because depending on what you think Tashbisu is or is not, is going to impact on whether you think it qualifies as a lav hanitach liyasei or not. So we have a little bit more work to do in this. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. Next week, we'll fine tune a little bit what does, what doesn't constitute a lav hanitach liyasei, and then go back to this Reb Chaim to see how ultimately this entire Shah is going to revolve around the Machlokes of Yidden the Chachamim. So next week, we'll expand a little bit our understanding of Yidden the Chachamim, particularly through the eyes of Reb Chaim. Okay. We'll show you a good chat.